COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. We're glad you joined us today. This is Redacted. I am Natalie Morris.
That is Clayton Morris.
And this is the show where we talk about things that the mainstream media may or may not talk about, ask questions that the mainstream media will not ask, and come to you with humility, no agenda, and lots of questions about the world.
Yeah, we try to bring our A game, to bring the truth here. I see a lot of comments from you when you're watching us on YouTube or on Rumble or other spots where you say, thank you guys so much for trying to bring us the real news. We don't get this in the mainstream media, and I really, really appreciate that. That is our goal. We don't have all of the answers, but we're discovering truth and seeking truth together. That's why the 30-minute countdown on our show says seeking truth in a certain amount of time. So we are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday, here on YouTube and Rumble. Be sure to like this video. It's very, very important to make sure that you like this video, because that pushes us out further in the YouTube algorithm and on Rumble as well. But you got to smash that like button. So that's how YouTube's algorithm works. They're suppressing certain channels and certain voices, and when you smash that like button, it actually pushes us further
it
out.
It helps.
Yes.
It's an ask.
I don't know how they do it.
It's not much to ask, so please just do that. So today...
You smell this? This is fresh.
Hot off the press.
This is fresh news. We've got so many things to cover today on the show.
Okay, we're going to talk about the West funneling more money into Ukraine. This has been a theme that we continue to talk about, and we will continue... because the money continues. We got no choice.
Yeah, and they're lying about it. They've been hiding it. They're hoping you wouldn't even notice it. So we're going to talk about how they're being really creative about doing all of this. So that is coming up on the show. We're also going to look at how Mexico, the president of Mexico, you know, he snubbed the United States at the Summit of the Americas.
Yes.
Last week. And has some way more critical things to say about the American hegemony and imperial might in as it relates to the war in Ukraine. So we will talk about Mexico as well.
We're also going to talk about Serbia, about Portugal, about Russia, about China, all of those things, specifically about sanctions that are being put on you as an American investor. I find this story full of questions. Plus, we're going to tackle this. Where did that COVID thing come from? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about why we don't have good answers yet. All that and more coming up on today's show. So let's get started with Redacted.
Welcome into the big show. Before we jump into today's stories, I want to tell you about our community. We have an amazing community. It's totally free. If you go to redacted.inc, that's the place to go. It's our website. It's not run by Google. It's not run by any big, huge tech company. It's run by us. That way, when they decide to censor us and they tell us things that we can't say here on the show, we're able to say it there. We're able to put uncensored videos, stuff that they would otherwise cancel us for. Right there. So redacted.inc is the place to go, and make sure that you sign up there. We also have our a bunch of other stuff over there as well to become a member.
Yes, we have many videos that we are not comfortable putting on other platforms, not because we are antagonistic people, but because the rules of these platforms continue to shrink. And so the questions that we are allowed to ask, you know, this is always something that's top of mind, because just today, as I was researching this sanction story, every search result that I put up about, like, what are exactly the rules for Americans to invest outside of America? And every search result tried to help me invest inside of America. Like, and I was like, okay, but I'm trying to actually...
Yeah, I'm trying to not invest.
Not do that. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what I'm doing, but I'm saying that those, all the search, you know, it just, it continues to be completely apparent to me that the web is not neutral and that the rules of engagement are skewed. And so, you know, we have to set up a plan B. You guys, this is like bunker training, right? Where will we meet?
So for as
if we can't meet here.
So for as little as $4 a month, you get access to exclusive content, content that we can't post on Rumble, on YouTube, and without losing our channel. I literally had one of the guests of our show last week on the show. She just told me that YouTube is literally taking down video after video after video of hers. And she was a guest on our show. Like, this is what's happening to voices right now. And that's why it's more important than ever before. She sent me a message this afternoon. I was just like heartbroken about it. This is happening everywhere, guys. Like, this is supposed to be democracy. This is supposed to be freedom, freedom of speech. It's absurd. I mean, it's absolutely laughable. So again, for just go over to redacted.inc. Really, really important to stay connected with us so that if we do get censored, we're able to email you and let you know what's going on. Okay. Without further ado, let's start the show and get into today's top story. Let's talk about the craftiness of the money that's being funneled to Ukraine. So you may remember, I don't know if you were around last week, when the Senate and then President Biden approved that $40 billion additional package to Ukraine, right? That was just the tip of the iceberg, because now the United States is sending an additional $1.5 billion to Ukraine monthly. I mean, think about this for a second. This is basically structured as a direct, like a direct deposit, like a direct auto deposit for Ukraine. We were having this big national debate about $40 billion, right, in the Senate. And we are now basically saying we're not going to bring any more votes before the Senate. We don't want any sort of national attention about a $40 billion package. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to just roll out $1.2 billion. And Derek Hogan is the guy that said it. Speaking at a conference of the Washington-based Wilson Center think tank, this is Derek Hogan on Monday, he said that since the beginning of Russia's special military operation in Ukraine, around $53 billion in assistance has already gone out, including military aid, but now they are setting up to be able to send $1.2 or $1.3 billion per month to Ukraine.
Okay, when we put that in perspective, consider that the stock market is having, we are fully in bear territory right now, right? And the Federal Reserve is meeting today and tomorrow about interest rate hikes, because the American economy is really suffering, is teetering on the brink. And we can say all kinds of reasons why, right? But this is absolutely the time to answer for your priorities. And if one of those priorities is sending money to all the way to Eastern Europe.
And no matter how sympathetic the call.
That? Who said that?
Sorry.
That's okay. then, you know, I think that those things should be answered for. But what will we see out of the Fed meeting this week? We'll see some kind of Putin's price hike, right? We'll see all the talking points. We really won't see anybody saying, can we afford this given the national debt, given the inflationary period, given all of this, right? That is not part of the conversation.
So Michael Tracy tweeted this. By the way, if you're thinking like, well, where's this? Is this, to me, when I heard this news, okay, well, we'll get to the Michael Tracy thing in a second, but let me just monologue for a second. When I heard this news, I thought what they're doing is it's all surreptitious now. They're just hiding it. And the end game for them is to quietly downplay the amount of money that we're funneling there. We saw yesterday the confirmation from the Pentagon of these bio labs in Ukraine. So the money, the protection, the continued role that the U.S. will play in this is now going to be downplayed and not talked about as much. And they are going to basically structure an endless war. That's it. We've been talking about that for a few months. But now all of the signs are coming together. $1.5 billion a month, 1.2, 1.5. It's going to go up from there. And then this Michael Tracy tweet this afternoon, who got some interesting information about what happened at Fort Hood. At Fort Hood, an order recently came down to repaint the desert tan colored vehicles to woodland green, signifying the first to fight divisions stationed at the base are now being prepared for combat in more verdant regions. So more green.
Forested
Ukraine. Forested yes. Russia. Forested Donbass. Like 1.5 billion. We're spray painting all of our desert vehicles, sending them over there in this sort of endless cycle of war.
Well, right. In fact, a Pentagon official just yesterday said that they are prepared to just hang with Ukraine forever now, right? So the talking point was, we think that they will be weakened. They basically do think that this region that is being contested, the eastern region, will be ceded to Russia. And after that happens, you know, Ukraine will be someone we can't ever leave alone because of what could happen next, because of the weakening of their economy, for all types of reasons. So we are being told, basically, you know, this is now our responsibility. We have to foster Ukraine from now on, whether we want to or not.
So, you know, you had Senator Rand Paul, right? Senator Rand Paul.
Yeah, I know him.
He just reminded us, of course, all about this on the floor of the Senate, where he said, you know, we cannot doom. He talked about the stolen money. So here is this, you know, he talked about the stolen money, right? This is and apart from the economic hardships the U.S. is going through with inflation and average gas prices reaching new record highs. The vow comes on the heels of renewed concerns that the American money might be diverted or stolen in Ukraine. Last month, Republican Senator Rand Paul called for fiscal accountability on the money, arguing that unless we put an end to the fiscal insanity, a day of reckoning awaits the United States. So here is Senator Rand Paul on the dooming of the American economy.
My oath of office is to the national security of the United States of America. We cannot save Ukraine by dooming the U.S. economy. In March, inflation hit a 40-year high. Gasoline alone is up 48%, and energy prices are up 32% over the last year. Food prices have increased by nearly 9%. Used vehicle prices are up 35% for the year, and new vehicle prices have increased 12% or more. Yes, inflation doesn't just come out of nowhere. It comes from deficit spending.
Comes from deficit spending.
Well, we should be reminded that he and his father are both fans of Austrian economics, which is very low perversion of market forces, right? Mm-hmm. And so this goes against every bone in his body if you're creating money to give to someone else's cause.
Right. I mean, nothing's changed with Rand Paul. I mean, I've interviewed him, dozens upon dozens of times over the years, and his father. And they've stayed consistent on this issue. It's like, okay, can we have accountability on the money? Can we not actually send money overseas when we should be actually taking care of Americans at home? He went on to explain, hey, you know, what we could do, we only spend like 60 million or so on cancer research in the United States. Think about we're literally sending 1.5 billion a month to Ukraine, and we can't even fund cancer research in the United States. Here he had this to say about, pointed out all of this money that we're sending to Ukraine is being borrowed from the Chinese, which is another piece of this. Listen.
With a $30 trillion debt, America can't afford to be the world's policeman. The U.S. is trying to recover from the $1.6 trillion we spent on wars in the Middle East, not to mention the $5 trillion borrowed for COVID. We should not forget that the Soviet Union collapsed in large part, not because it was defeated militarily, but because it ran out of money. In an attempt to save Ukraine, will we doom the United States to such a future? In the past 2 years, the U.S. has borrowed more money than at any time in our history. We are already experiencing the greatest rate of inflation in over four decades. The assault on monetary discipline is untenable, and it cannot go on forever.
It is untenable. $30 trillion in debt. So this money that we're borrowing from China to yes. send to Ukraine. And then we sit there, and you're going to talk about this in a moment. We're both going to talk about this in a moment. like we're basically being told like you really can't do anything in China, but the American government is allowed to borrow as much money as they want from China.
Yes. It's very troubling, right? And so Rand Paul is always that voice that reminds you that there are a limit to numbers, right? That there is a consequence to this. And so because of this sort of whack salve that we've all had, which is Walmart, Amazon, China, which has allowed us to buy things at a pervertedly low rate and have so many goods, right? And now that's come to a screeching halt. And you simply can't. For instance, my daughter today was asking, she was like, do you know why we don't have corn anymore in school? Like, they just literally don't serve it as a side dish anymore, which nutritionally I have problems with. But still, like, she's missing the corn. And I was like, huh, it's just things like this will continue to disappear from our modern lives until we are forced to look at how much we have perverted our economy.
Yeah,
I know I use that term a lot, but I don't have another way to.
No, we're the greatest. We're the greatest. We're
perverts.
Perverts. We're the greatest perversions of of the economy and currency and everything else that is the United States.
It's just like to think that you can create money for one cause and then let other things sort of. It's crazy when you really study economics. I'm sorry, I'm not saying it as erudite as I could. Mm-hmm. But when you really study the economy and how many decisions are made which sacrifice other things, you see that you feel it now. We all feel it, not just because you don't have corn at school, but gas prices, inflation costs, stock market taking a dump.
And let's wrap up this segment. The idea, though, that... This is an endless war now. This is the way we're structuring it. It's an endless war. And even though we have a number of experts saying this is over, like a number of major military leaders coming and saying, this is over, we're done. And yet it's as if they're just not even aware of it in Washington. And they're going to continue to funnel this money. And it's so funny to listening Chuck Schumer lecture people about why we need to stand with them. We need to stand with Ukraine. We need to funnel this money there because it's support of democracy. Like that's why you pay more at the gas pump, everyone, because you need to support the Ukrainian democracy. All right, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk about, coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about sanctions on Americans as it relates to, you're being sanctioned. You might not know about it, but you actually are. We're going to tell you how. We're also going to look at Mexico versus President Biden and really interesting take on what happened at the Americas summit last week, but also now where the Mexican president blasting President Biden over what's going on in Ukraine. And we just got back from Serbia just a short time ago. So I'm very interested what's happening in that country because it really is sitting in the middle of all of this. And I had somebody write to me and say, they're not in the middle of anything. They have nothing to do with this war. Oh, yeah. Why did the head of Germany just fly to Serbia to make some pretty interesting demands? So we're going to tell you about that and more. But you want to talk about this next story?
Oh, sure. Okay. You don't want to do a sponsor?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Let's talk about what's happening right now with Americans and how they're dealing with being able to get access to these different markets right now around the world.
Okay. Well, the United States is sanctioning you if you are a U.S. citizen. You may not have known this. The Treasury Department has issued new guidelines saying that you are not allowed to make certain investments in Russian bonds, and they are working on rules that would prohibit Americans from making investments in China. But this is America, you might say. We want, to be free. This is our money. We're free to do that. You're not, actually. When it comes to your money, there are many things you cannot do and many ways that the U.S. keeps tabs on your money overseas. Those days of an unmarked Swiss bank account are long gone. So last week, the Biden administration issued new restrictions on Americans buying Russian stocks and bonds. A Treasury spokesperson said that this was, quote, consistent with our goal to deny Russia financial resources it needs to continue its brutal war against Ukraine. Treasury has made clear the U.S. persons are prohibited from making new investments in the success of Russia, including through purchases on the secondary market. So previously, you were only allowed to trade these bonds on the secondary market, but now the United States wants to dig those investors out too and say basically nothing for you, right? But look at the Russian stock market, which is called the Moscow Exchange. Now, can we zoom into this graphic? I'm sorry, it's a bit. So if you look at this, this is a one-year dip. So if you, or a one-year chart. So see how previous to the invasion in March, it was doing just fine. March invasion, big dip. But since then, quite the recovery and stability, right? Just today, the Moscow Exchange was up 4% on a day when the American economy was dipping into bear market. That's a 20% decline, right? And so it seems to be stabilizing. The United States government does not want to give you the opportunity to get in on that game, period. Well, now Congress wants to put a screening process on American businesses that do business in China. According to the Wall Street Journal, this measure is part of broader legislation to bolster U.S. competitiveness with China, and it would require American companies and investors to disclose certain new outbound investments and authorize the executive branch to form a new intra-agency panel to review and block investments on national security grounds. So you may remember this was, you know, Donald Trump was big on this too, right? He really didn't like the idea that TikTok had so much power and was Chinese owned. This sort of furthers that. And there is bipartisan support on this. So a draft of the bill was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal on Monday. Now, I want to remind you, we are in a Cold War with China over currency. The United States wants to maintain its power as the world's exchange currency. China wants to take that, right? The United States has a lot of debt, doesn't have enough money to actually support all business in the world. China is saying we can, right? Whether that's true or not, I'm not a Chinese economist, but Secretary of State, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says that this move, this now new screening of Chinese investments, will avoid a Cold War, but I can't quite work that out.
Well, it'll avoid a Cold War.
So we will put more restrictions on Chinese investments.
Right.
But this won't exacerbate the Cold War that we are currently in with China. I don't see how that could be the case. Now, the Wall Street Journal points out that the U.S. has for decades regulated foreign investments in U.S. entities, which is true, right? You may not know this because I think most people don't just say like, oh, how can I invest in Switzerland or whatever, right? This is like upper echelon of investors who even care about investing in other places. So even though that is the case, right, this is a new sort of broader bill. The new bill expands the federal government's purview over Americans' investment activities overseas. So you could say, and maybe I just will say it, that it's a power grab, right? This is expanding. So many people who live any kind of international lives feel like when Obama put FATCA, which was a requirement for Americans living overseas to report all assets to the U.S. government, that was a humongous power grab. I 1,000% agree, but we're going to put that aside for a second. But for the American government now to use conflict to give itself more power over where Americans can invest is very concerning to me, right? This has been ratcheting up for years. America behaves like a jealous ex-boyfriend when it comes to American money and American dollars overseas. It's very every move you make. And so I feel concerned over this giving the American government more power under the excuse of it's wartime, right? And so
this is all they do. This is what we just watched the other night, just as an example. I mean, it's an anecdotal example, but of course, watching the movie Vice, starring Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, What's his name who played George Bush?
I don't know that actor's name.
Off the top of my head. Anyone in the chat, let me know. But, you know, you see how you they're, you know, consolidating American power. They're never going to relinquish the power. Right?
Yes, they never do that.
You take power and you don't relinquish it. You build more power. You expand the executive branch. You make it as powerful as possible, as Dick Cheney planned to do, you know, under George W. Bush. So you don't roll this power back. Anytime they can consolidate power and take more of it, they're going to. And it's funny to watch, like, the Western media talking heads, by the way. So Jim Cramer on CNBC, I don't know, a mouthpiece of Washington, et cetera. But watch Jim Cramer, his take on how this whole China move is playing out. Take a listen.
Hey, Jim, we're looking, by the way, at Didi. I don't know if you saw this, up over 50% today. You should see that flow through at least marginally to Uber, which, of course, has actually moved nicely this week or last week, but on a relative basis to where it had been, maybe not. What do you expect there?
Well, look, I think that the People's Republic of China, the government periodically tries to suck us in. They always succeed. There'll be some people who come on our air. People have lost you money consistently, and they'll be back saying, you know what, the market you want to be in is China. They have no idea how the Chinese Communist government likes to manipulate the stocks to get us in, get our capital, probably do some deals, and then say, America, you don't know how we work. And it just seems to happen regularly. It's a very ill-advised strategy, but it just, the people who insist on investing in that area, you've got to take your money away from them because they're fools.
Okay.
I can't quite work out that logic.
Well, I just want to unpack this a little bit. So this idea that China is perverting the currency or China is perverting the stock market to get you to come in. Let me tell you something. Okay, all you need to do is watch any day trader. Ask any day trader you know who perverts the markets. And it's absolutely Wall Street.
You only have to have been alive in 2007, 2008 to have observed, right?
Perversion. The United States is the biggest perverter of currency in the world. We're literally $30 trillion in debt, and we want to lecture other people about where they can put their money. By the way, I saw this afternoon, I didn't have time to put it in, but did you know overnight they opened up the new land bridge between China and Russia? They did a whole celebration ceremony.
No, I did not.
So there was balloons and everything, and they opened up a new trade route between China and Russia. It's a much fanfare, and, you know, again, showing you, and by the way, India now, the second biggest importer of Russian oil for the first time. So again, they're doing fine without us.
But my concern about this, right, is that it will be used as an excuse to continue to preclude Americans from investing in other economies that are not suffering the same, right? And that it will never be allowed again, right? And that it will continue to expand. And you're right, these kind of powers, it doesn't have to be that you can't invest in Russia right now, right? Will we get that power back if Russia becomes an ally? Who knows, right? But the government is going to continue to use this to look at your foreign. Ask any tax accountant who prepares taxes for anyone who lives overseas. It's a nightmare. And it will continue to be if the government decides that now it screens investments from China, it precludes investments from Russia. This is just something that will continue to reach into people. I struggle with, like, how much does this matter? Do people really live international lives with family overseas and that kind of thing? And I think that a lot of people do. And I think that these rules will be dangerous.
Well, I just love that they're going to lecture us about where to put our money when you are lying to our faces about what's going on in a war in Ukraine. You're literally lying to us. You're lying to us about what's happening in China. You're lying to us what's happening in Russia. You're lying to us what's happening in Ukraine. You're lying to us what's happening in Syria. You're lying to us what's happening in Somalia. The list goes on and on and on. So you are literally lying to us, and you're going to tell us what to do with our money When you do ends around with our taxpayer dollars and funnel billions of dollars into these zones, and then you tell us we can't invest,
well,
that's
yes,
the most hilarious part to me.
For people who actually study economics and study investing like us, right, we have made it our goal to move as much money outside of the American dollar and American investments as possible, because we are afraid of what is coming for a nation that's saddled with debt. And this inflation is something that many predicted, right? And so it's painful, but it's not necessarily surprising. And so if the government sees that more and more people are coming to this realization and thinking, I'm not going to invest here, this place is a dumpster fire, and then sets laws that makes it so that you cannot diversify, that is terrifying. We went to an investor conference in Serbia where someone who was trying to invest overseas, and there were certain banks in certain countries that said, no, we don't work with Americans because of FATCA requirements, because of the IRS is a Gestapo, right? And so what the guy had been, he said, I was trying to just like diversify into different countries, and I realized I live in a financial concentration camp because I cannot get out, right? This is it, because he is only allowed to play by the rules of the IRS, even if he's not living inside America. And so these types of things will continue to close us in, and they scare me.
Well, and I think crypto too. I mean, look at crypto. You know, like if you want to invest in crypto and if you want to be involved in taking care of your own money in that way, there's so many crypto companies and exchanges that are like, we're not doing business in the United States. Why would we? Why? There's no reason for us to do it.
Right.
I mean, we could tap into that market. Yeah, that's fine. You know what? Those people want to do it. They're going to figure out creative ways to invest outside of the United States. And that's the sad reality. But, you know, the United States is digging its own grave. You're watching it in real time, guys. You're watching it unfold in real time. I talk to Americans, very, very, very intelligent Americans in different levels of government and the military and the media. And they're just shaking their heads. They're like, I've never seen it like this. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And that's why we need to protect ourselves. And look, one of our show sponsors, actually, they actually reminded me today. They said, you know, the Hong Kong stock market right now is up over 34%. And because of that, why would you, I mean, you can actually invest in some of these super convenient stocks, the Hong Kong stock market and others, with just one account. So if you want to invest in the United States, you can do that. You can also invest in Hong Kong using an account from Moomoo. And right now, they're giving up to $25,000 away in free stocks just when you sign up. Right now, you get 10 free stocks plus a free stock of Lucid. Just for opening an account and making that initial deposit. You get free stocks just for opening the account, and then you get additional free stocks once you make that initial deposit. And they're valued up to $25,000. So it supports Hong Kong stock trading, and other major platforms do not trade on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. So, you know, this morning waking up, watching the Hong Kong Stock Exchange go green, right? It was green when the United States is in the toilet.
So is the Russian stock exchange, right?
Up. Yes. Russian up, yes. Russian up, Hong Kong stock exchange up, United States stock exchange down, right? All around. So you have unified buying power when you use this account. You get up to $25,000 to be able to use. You can use these free stocks, even if you don't do anything else with them. So if you want to take advantage of them right now, I would definitely take advantage of it, given where we are right now. We even have like the Buffett-backed EV maker, BYD. Their shares, this is from the Dow Jones, their shares rose on Wednesday after the Chinese electric vehicle maker said it was preparing to supply batteries to Tesla. So again, Hong Kong listed shares of BYD, which rose more than 13% this year. They rose 2.79% on Wednesday. So go check them out right now. Go to, yes, there it is on your screen, redacted.inc/MOOMOO. That's Moomoo. Redacted.inc/Moomoo. They're a supporter of our show, but you also get up to 11 free stocks valued at $25,000. And you can take advantage of the Hong Kong Stock Exchange right now. We'll have links in the description so you can check it out there. So thanks to all of your chats. I should remind all of you, please, please, please smash that like button. Smash that like button and push us out to a bigger audience. That's how the YouTube algorithm works. Again, I just heard from a fellow YouTuber this afternoon, and she told me that her videos are just disappearing. YouTube is just taking them down. The same exact thing happened to the Gray Zone the other day for covering the corruption out of the UK. They broke the big story. It was all over the British, British social media. It was trending. And then YouTube took their video down. They took it down. This is what's happening with big tech. So really, really important, guys, to try to push the voices out further so we can reach more people. Really, really important to do that. Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk about Mexico. So you may recall, sure. You remember last week when we had the Americas Summit, the Summit of the Americas, and the Mexican president said, I'm not going to go, right? Mexican president Andres Manuel López Obrador, here he is, he said, I'm not going to go because he said in protest of the Biden's exclusion of Cuba and Nicaragua and Venezuela, we're not going to go. Because the United States wanted to lecture the rest of the world that, hey, you know, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela are not democratic enough. This is what we told them, right? So they're not coming. So now, Mexican president was asked in an interview about what's going on in Ukraine, and he is condemning the NATO approach to the war in Ukraine, labeling it, quote, immoral. So President Andres Manuel López Obrador at a press conference answering questions from reporters was not holding back. It was basically his sort of big second display of independence from Washington in recent days. So this is a reporter asking a question at the press conference here. So that is not Manuel, but he'll be up in a second, I believe. So last week he refused to attend the conference. And then he said, I believe we need a change in the policy that has been imposed for centuries, the exclusion, the desire to dominate, the lack of respect for the sovereignty of the countries, the independence of every country, basically calling what we're doing in Ukraine as immoral. This idea that we're just going to funnel weapons, we're going to funnel money, is totally immoral. And the AP has a breakdown of this.
Yes. So I think that there are a couple things you can break down from this, right? It is a bit ballsy because Mexico has typically not called out the United States for any foreign policy before. So it is indicative of someone feeling a bit more comfortable doing that, sort of the decline of America as a world power if someone is willing to say what they think. Although it is rich, right, to talk about weapons in Mexico, which is flooded with weapons as well, so I guess we can put that aside a bit. But he's talking about invasion in other nations. He did not mention the United States by name, but you can tell who he's talking about. He says, you know, I'll supply the weapons, you supply the dead. This is immoral, right? When asked if he thought what he thought about the conflict, he says that the war in Ukraine could have been avoided. He says, of course it could, right? The United States and Western powers would not have you believe that. They would have you believe there was no choice, right? We had no, there was no other way to be. But, you know, here's someone who has governing experience who says he wouldn't have done it this way.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that it's actually refreshing finally, like to hear from, like, we've been bullying the Western Hemisphere since our creation.
Sure.
Right? That's what we do. We have the freaking Monroe Doctrine. You want to laugh about this, right? The Monroe Doctrine, written, put into place by President James Monroe, right? The idea was that, hey, no Eastern power, it was really about Europe at the time. We didn't care much. There wasn't anything else to really care about, right? It was Europe was what was our focus. If you're a European, you better stay out of the West. You better stay out of the West. We don't want you here. We have Western power. And that this is our hemisphere. You better stay out. Meanwhile, who are we to dictate to all of Central and Latin America and South America that we're the big daddy in the room?
Well, I guess what you could extrapolate here or just quandary is if Mexico becomes anti-NATO and there is a reason to enforce the Monroe Doctrine. Do you see where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even want to say it. I just want you to fill in the blanks. Like, will it be something where, I mean, you know that there are plenty of people already in South America who are anti-NATO. Can anti-American sentiment travel through the Americans?
Yes.
And
yes,
will
yes,
it
yes,
be
yes.
something then that the United States actually does have to contend with, that it is not the popular kid in that neighborhood any longer?
It's already happening. So we're yes. already seeing Brazil, you know, having meetings with Iran over oil and other
sure.
and other issues. So you're seeing Brazil meeting with Iran. You're seeing with other countries in Central America saying, Venezuela, for instance.
Yes.
Venezuela holding meetings with Iran. Sorry, I said Brazil. So you have Central and Latin. You have Central and South American countries saying, maybe we want to align ourselves a little differently here.
When a New York Times reporter asked an Argentinian cyber arms dealer, do you only sell to NATO? He was like, what? Why would I limit myself that way? And she goes, well, you know, NATO is a benevolent power. And he was like, you need to change your worldview, Nicole. Like, this is not how people see it there, that NATO is sort of the white hat in the world. Philip, were you saying something and I interrupted you?
Oh, that's fine. I was going to say, did you see where Russia has created a new G8 that involves Brazil and China? And I'm not sure if Iran was in it. I only caught Brazil and China in it, but they're basically like forming their own G8 with some of these other countries.
Yeah. Why? Why? When you look at the American hegemony, which is collapsing, right? They're hanging on to it as much as they can.
Yeah, it all feels very junior varsity at this moment.
And you're like, wow, man, we want to be with these guys? We want to be with these guys who have been at war for 250 years? That's the United States. The United States has been at war in some way or another for 250 years of its 275-year history. And it's $30 trillion in debt. And we've bullied so many people now. Where, by the way, when we talked about money being, you know, as we've pulled out of Afghanistan, and we go in there and we bomb those countries, but then we don't actually rebuild them or help people, right? So what does China do? They've actually been creating alliances in a lot of these areas and actually rebuilding the Middle East and investing in the Middle East. Bless you. And and building the Belt and Road Initiative, right, which is like aligning itself with parts of the Middle East. And so and through obviously into plans into Syria and otherwise. So, again, where we are pulling back on our failures, there's other people who are ready to step up and take the lead. You know, I kind of think back to. Let's think about Portugal, right? Portugal, go back to the 1400s, 1500s, and you had like this massive expansion of the Portuguese Empire, right? I mean, basically created the slave trade, right? I mean, basically, it was like the dominant power of sea power in the world, right? And they had colonies all over the place, right? And just go into, you know, Zanzibar and take
Goa,
all over the place. It was the Portuguese Empire. And then at some point, they're like, we're done. Like, we're done with this, and the Portuguese are now happy to be, you know, neutral, mostly, and peaceful, third safest country in the world. And you're like, and when I hear from Portuguese who say, you know, when the Americans like to say that we're the best country in the world, we're the biggest country in the world, we're the strongest country in the world, the Portuguese are like, we've been there, done that.
It comes at a great cost.
And it's not all it's cracked up to be. And so there's other world leaders now. There's other world, you know, world powers that are stepping up to try to take that mantle from the United States.
I mean, really, that was only 500 years ago, right? And so these cycles of governments that maintain their power, the United States being only 250 years old, is, you know, it's conceivable that this cycle of popularity is nearing its end.
Meanwhile, even in the United States, people are fleeing, right? So it's amazing to watch. So you have the Mexican president standing up to President Biden and calling what the United States is doing in Ukraine immoral. And then you have so many Californians who are just so unhappy with California that they're fleeing to Mexico and basically saying, we want to get out. Our cost of living is through the roof. The violence. Imagine this. Did you ever think, I mean, Mexico, we hear about the violence in Mexico all the time. Californians are saying they feel like it's safer to go to Mexico than it is to be in California.
Yes, but they can create these little bubbles of privilege too, right? And so...
Yeah, they can take their California wealth.
Yes.
And instead of being taxed to the hilt, they can go to Mexico and create sort of a safety bubble. Maybe they even have armed guards, or they live in a gated community where, like they do in South Africa, where you literally have armed guards and barbed wire fences to protect yourself.
Yes. Like, and so, well, I think what's interesting is to see these countries around America that are saying, like, we actually don't really want all of these Americans. They come in with their dollar and they inflate property prices and they drive prices up. They tip in a way that the locals cannot sustain, right? And so that in and of itself is interesting. But just to think about, you know, America's attitude towards immigrants and now America's attitude as immigrants or other countries' attitude about Americans. In fact, just last month, the Los Angeles Times ran this story about Portugal, saying, you know, Portugal is saying, oh, you know, welcome, but not Californians. And this
is, please go home.
Yeah, Californians, not you, right? Because there is this sort of, I'm a Californian, and this is the part where Clayton loves to dig at Californians because his wife is one and he's from Philadelphia and he thinks Californians are obnoxious. And so I am always the recipient of, like, Californians don't know how to drive in the rain, which is true. Californians can't take cold weather. Californians, right? So
ruined Portland.
They ruined Idaho. They moved to Idaho. There's literally in Idaho now they have T-shirts that say bumper stickers.
Build a wall to California because right. They don't want Californians exporting their values and also their sort of economic habits. I get it, right? But as a Californian, a native Californian who lives in Portugal, that hurts a little bit.
Well, you see it in Texas. I mean, you absolutely see what some of the stuff, you know, the Californian baggage that they bring with them into Texas and a lot of the woke politics and certainly the case. So I think that Portugal article is interesting. Basically saying, hey, no, I know it looks a lot like California in Portugal. Please go away.
Call it Europe's California because the climate is so similar and the food and the seafood and all of that stuff. It is very similar, but culturally it is not, right? And so bringing Californian dollars and Californian tipping habits and California, like, where do I get my argan oil? These are things that I think of myself. Oh my
God. You're digging yourself.
It is literally like, I'm not exaggerating, in Portland, like it's not so bad now but like about 10 years ago, it was like, if you said you were from California, it was like instant ostracization. Like people just like looked at you funny. They're like, get out, go back to where you came from, because they hated it. Because what was happening was people that were selling their houses in like LA or San Francisco, then moving to Portland, they could get like double the house for half the price. And so it was driving up housing prices in Portland. Yes. And that was just all people in Portland thought about. It's kind of funny.
So it's just the economic habit, right? and we can't drive in the rain.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is there anything else that I should know
was basically
it. Was just about what you do
that we do that's obnoxious. That's,
oh my God. Let us know in the chat.
I'm
now.
I'm opening myself up for this one.
Are there any other things that Californians are obnoxious about?
Cool.
Let us know in the chat. Are there any things Californians are obnoxious about?
Don't you wish they all could be Californian girls?
I know.
And to be fair, the chat should also talk about people from California in the chat should let us know what annoys them about everybody else.
Sure, right?
Just to be fair.
Drugs, Miguel says. Theft.
I don't do any of those things. That's really unfair.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, please let us know.
Putting ranch dressing on pizza?
Your traffic stinks. Oh, yeah, come on. I lived in Redondo Beach. I married a Californian. I worked my first job in television at a Fox affiliate when I was starting out in journalism was in Los Angeles. And someone said the traffic.
Okay, there's our comment. Woke culture. Who
woke
just said
culture.
That?
Well, woke okay. Culture. Yes. Hollywood.
I'll give you that one.
I mean, all you need to do is look at the latest Jurassic Park movie to see what's wrong with the world and to see like what comes out of California. Like sometimes you can get a good movie out of there and sometimes you can't, or you get the wokeness of what's, you know, and that, I think this latest Jurassic Park movie that we went and saw this past week.
It wasn't woke. It was just not good. That there was nothing to do with wokeness. It just was a bad movie.
We could have a debate on that. Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them coming. Keep your California comments coming, and we'll read them.
Yeah, I'm watching
any super chats you have on California. Let them know, and we'll put them. Yeah.
I mean, hey, we eat healthy food.
Today's California is not the same Cali from 20 years ago. That is true. That is absolutely true.
Yes, and I've been gone for almost 15 years.
Someone said of that Jurassic Park movie, the villain looked like Tim Cook. I know, it was like, I got like Tim Cook from
that's
the Apple.
That's what I said. I leaned over and I was like, is that a Tim Cook?
Yeah. Oh, hey, we've got a lot more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about Serbia and sanctions, and you're going to want to pay attention to this story as well, because we're going to be talking about what's going on with the World Health Organization, the WHO, and lying about COVID and some revelations about the Wuhan lab. So you don't want to miss that. But I do want to tell you about, hey, how many of you guys watching right now have a bit of a dad bod? You guys, or I guess we'll do, yeah, let's talk about this. If you do, you might want to consider some Athletic Greens. I'm a huge fan of Athletic Greens. I take it every day, just one scoop, take it in the mornings. I put it right in a mix of water, I actually make a smoothie now. So I'm doing that kind of in the morning or at lunch. I add it to, I made it like a little peanut butter smoothie, and I throw in my one scoop of Athletic Greens. And it's so delicious and super healthy. I get 75 vitamins all right there inside of my Athletic Greens shake. And it's very, very simple to do. I use it every day. And I've been using it now, would you say like 7 or 8 months, I think I've been using it?
No, like 2 years.
No, not that long, really?
Yes.
Well, anyway, it feels only like a short time ago, and it's really, really great. I take it every day because it gives me energy. It helps me cut down on all of the other supplements that I have in my house, and it's a superfood. So it's a whole source superfood, probiotics, high quality vitamins, minerals, and aptogens to start your day off right. And AG1 is their formula. And it's really, really simple. So you just open up the bag, you keep it in a little canister, you keep it inside of your refrigerator, and you scoop one thing into like 12 ounces of cold water, shake it up, and it tastes delicious. It doesn't taste chalky or anything like that. Really, really love it. And it is recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts, such as Michael Jervis. In 2020, Athletic Greens purchased carbon credits that supports projects protecting old growth forests. For every purchase, they also donate to organizations helping get nutritious food to kids in need in the United States. Because you know what? Congress can't do that. So Athletic Greens has to do that to help actually make sure 17 million kids in the United States actually have food. That's what the United States is like right now. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you one free year supply of vitamin D. That's right. And 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/invest. INVEST, like investing in your health. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/invest to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Our thanks to Athletic Greens for supporting the show.
All right. Well, the president of Serbia and the president and the prime minister of Germany did not have a very friendly visit recently, and it's indicative of the fact that there are many Baltic states that are not so down with NATO's plan and, in fact, are not willing to put sanctions on Russia the way the West wants. Now, Serbia is an interesting place because it has applied for European Union membership, but is also very dependent on Russian oil, Russian business, Russian energy, and also is very supportive of Russia's moves inside of Ukraine. And so when German Chancellor Olaf Scholz visited Serbia this week, he indicated that he expects, as an EU applicant, that Serbia will fall in line with sanctions that the West wants. And the Serbian president says, I don't think that we're prepared to do that. And also, I don't think you get to tell me, in those words, as a paraphrase.
So here's the Politico headline. I mean, this is amazing. So German Serbian leaders clash over Kosovo, Russian sanctions. And in the piece, Scholz, who had come to Serbia's capital, Belgrade, during a two-day tour across the Western Balkans, Greece, and Bulgaria, told the audience that Serbia, as an EU membership candidate, must apply sanctions to the Russian the same that the bloc has imposed against Russia over its war in Ukraine.
It is our expectation, he said. He expects these things to happen. You know,
it's like, you want membership. You want membership into the EU. You better do these sanctions,
right? You know, when he was asked about this, President Vučić recently, he said, "You know, this is not something, whether he supports Russia or he really wants into the European Union. What is his plan?" He said, "This is not something you boil down to a media comment, right? This is a nuanced. I have a lot to think about." It's not just that easy, but it does seem that Serbia continues to align itself with Russia, and the Serbian economy is good, and the Serbian people actually support the Russian army. We were there recently, and were surprised that a lot of the kiosks in the city center, and we were there just in May, have T-shirts with Vladimir Putin on, or Z's for the Russian army.
And we've heard from so many Serbians since our visit there that said, look, it's not just like the little stores. There's a long history. The way that we view NATO, the way that we view Western hegemony, the way that we view NATO power, we remember 1999. We know what lies got us attacked in 1999. We know what our country went through in 1999. When we were attacked by NATO in 78 days of darkness, they understand. And so the EU is going to come in and tell them, is going to tell Serbia, here's what you need to do. The reason that Serbia has like signed this oil, this gas deal with Vladimir Putin about with Russia about 2 weeks ago was for the Serbian people. I mean, wouldn't it be refreshing for a president of a particular country to actually do something that actually helps its own people? Right. I'm just thinking about the United States. You know, Joe Biden, if you're watching, this is an example of what maybe leadership actually looks like. Right. You actually say, you know what, we're not going to shovel $53 billion into Ukraine to support, quote unquote, democracy when our democracy in the United States is not a democracy at all.
Well, I think, you know, we have this America first ethos, right, that Trump ran on, that so many people feel very closely aligned with. I don't know if that is, but what the president of Serbia is doing is exactly that. He's doing Serbia first.
So you don't think, let me just unpack that a little bit. Like this idea that America has awful healthcare, has, you know, an education system that's failing, has roads and bridges that they can't even pay. As Rand Paul pointed out, we've sent $40 billion to Ukraine. We can't even fix our roads and bridges.
Oh my God! You want to talk about infrastructure? So water piping in your local town is most likely killing you and will fail in like short order. There was money for that in Build Back Better, but where the heck is that?
Where the heck is that? So yeah, I am all for, you know, taking care of your people. Remember all like. That's all politics, all business really should be local. The way, you know, if you think about like when they always say politics is local, if you have like a city council person who fixes, it all comes down to that, fixes potholes. Like that's what people see. They see that their park looks like shit. They see that their potholes every morning when they try to drive to work, they're popping their tire. You know, they see that their schools are not doing well. They see that their drinking water is not good. So if you have local politicians who take care of their people and provide for them, wow, it's a remarkable idea. And this is exactly what, nobody's perfect. No president is perfect, right? But what I think what Serbia has done, when President Vučić of Serbia is signing this gas deal with Russia to take care of his own people, thinking ahead to the winter when it's going to be freaking cold.
But also, beyond the just making decisions that are good for his people, right? He also says, we don't align with this NATO goal, right? So he literally said, what is the difference if someone attacks Serbia without a decision of the United Nations Security Council, or if someone undertakes aggression against Ukraine without a decision of the United Nations Security Council? Please just explain to me the difference. So he's saying, hey, we had this happen to us not long ago. NATO is not necessarily our bestie, right? We don't think that NATO is the solution to everybody. This is a remarkable statement. Even though NATO did attack. So, you know, this Politico article, it says that it called this like, oh, this is remarkable because even though NATO did attack in 1999 Serbia without a UN Security Council resolution, Russia and China had imposed their vetoes. It did so to protect Albanians and Kosovo amid fears of a potential genocide. This is what Politico says, which is very different from Russia's war of conquest against Ukraine. That last part, right, is their derision of that, right? That's not necessarily true. That's what we debate all the time on this show. So they're saying, well, Serbia had to be attacked, but Ukraine, different story. So like, let's not even discuss, right? And so, and a lot of the people that we talked to when we were in Serbia said, well, we don't think that's a foregone conclusion. We never had our day to actually work this out, to say like, what happened to us? The world didn't care as much.
Can we also just say the sanctions aren't working? So what you're asking Serbia to do is to hurt its own people for something that is demonstrably not working. It is failing. In fact, what it's doing is the exact opposite of its intention, which is it's hurting Western powers. It's hurting the European Union. It's hurting Africa. It's hurting Sri Lanka. It's hurting the United States. It's hurting Western powers, African powers, Middle Eastern countries. I mean, this is what's happening. In fact, in some way, I mean, it's even hurting Afghanistan, right? It's hurting Afghanistan because we've stolen their money, frozen their bank assets, and people are starving in Afghanistan, and we can't funnel money to them or take care of those people. We can't even take in additional refugees because we're taking in Ukrainian refugees. So all of this is tied together. It has failed, right? The sanctions have failed. So we're asking Serbia.
Well, that's what Olaf Scholz is, you know, pounding the pavement about right now, is going into Baltic regions and saying, will you please get on board with our sanctions? We really want this. That's surprising because it didn't seem right out of the gate that this is what European nations wanted. But now that they're campaigning, it's like they've crossed the Rubicon. They can't go back. You know, they have to say they want it, even if it hurts their home nations.
Well, our thoughts are with the people of Serbia, because wonderful people.
If this market does not convince you that you should be diversifying your assets, I don't know what will. Did you know that the majority of people are already investing in cryptocurrency through a taxable account when they could be using an IRA and avoiding or deferring taxes with crypto IRA? Now, this is an easy way to put crypto in your IRA. With Alto IRA, you can invest in crypto and trade it without any tax headache. So the way it works is Alto IRA is your custodian of your IRA, and it gives you true freedom to choose whatever you'd like. There are over 150 coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Cardano, and more. You can secure trade for 24/7, no setup charges and no account fees, and you can invest with as little as $10, or you can enroll an existing IRA into an account. Seriously, it's a game changer. It only takes a few minutes, and it's the easy way to put crypto into your IRA. So to open an Alto crypto IRA account with as little as $10, go to altoira.com/redacted. That's altoira.com/redacted, and start investing in cryptocurrency today. One more time, that's altoira.com/redacted.
All right, get in your super chats here. Don't forget, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel. We apologize for any kind of internet hiccups and problems that are out there in the world. Please make sure you're subscribed and turn on that little bell notification as well. All right, let's talk about what the World Health Organization is doing.
Or not doing,
basically continuing to lie to the American people and the world about what it's discovered in the Wuhan lab. So, of course, the Wuhan lab, let's start this. When you do a Google search for where did COVID start, if you just go to Google and you're just like, hey, where did COVID start? Google actually has a curated section of Google's main page that explains where COVID started. So that's the Google search. It's a cluster of patients in Wuhan. China begin in China, where it began to people there experienced shortnesses of breath and fever.
That's not really an answer to that question.
No. So it's
that's
not
a geographic question, but okay.
So the WHO put together a new report on where COVID started. And boy, is it a big pile of garbage. So the new report claims that COVID could have come from an animal. That's basically what it's saying. It probably came from an animal, but it could have also come from the Wuhan lab, but we're not really sure. So this is the preliminary report for the Scientific Advisory Group for the Origins of Novel Pathogens. And if we scroll through this, you can actually see a little bit deeper here. They actually point out that there's no animal to human evidence, they point out in this report. No animal to human evidence. And they say, is this paragraph. At the present time, currently available epidemiological and sequencing data suggests ancestral strains to SARS-CoV-2 have a zoonotic origin, with the closest genetically related viruses being beta coronaviruses identified in rhino bats. I don't know how to say that. Rhinolophosis bats in China and Laos in 2020. So not even in 2020 or 2019 in China. However, so far, neither the virus progenitors nor the natural intermediate host or spillover event to humans have been identified.
Which is interesting, right? Because the World Health Organization has been complaining all along that Wuhan did not give them access to their labs. They only handed out data, and they asked for further data, and China said, no, this is basically all you're getting, right? So they felt comfortable to publish this report full of question marks, and we, you know, the recipients of it, know that they didn't have full access to the sources they wanted to write it.
Right. So we can't figure it out. We have no idea, but it came from an animal. Sure. And it also, but it didn't transmit to a human from our report. So you're full of garbage. But maybe NBC News, actually, I think, you know, here's NBC News. Where did this idea come from? Because NBC News actually had an idea about this and evidence. Here's NBC. Watch.
Tonight, NBC News confirms a U.S. intelligence report says three researchers at a Wuhan lab fell ill and even went to the hospital right before the coronavirus pandemic began. There's been growing speculation the virus escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But an earlier joint study by the WHO in China controversially dismissed claims the virus may have leaked from that lab. But back in March, a member of that team told us some lab researchers were ill.
Did some researchers get sick with flu-like symptoms in the fall of 2019?
There were occasional illness because that's normal. There was nothing that stood out.
Oh, there was nothing that stood out. It was normal. This was normal. This is what happens in labs where normally people get infected with the stuff they're working on. Like this is what happened in this lab. Science writer Nicholas Wade wrote an article in which he concluded that evidence around the origins of COVID-19 is fairly firmly in favor of the virus coming from the lab in Wuhan. Here's Nicholas Wade.
Of all the places in China it could have broken out, is Wuhan at the doorstep of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This seems to be hardly a debate.
That's where it fell. And by the way, a Canadian military officer who fears that he was at ground zero of COVID 2 months before China officially acknowledged the virus has demanded an investigation into the suspicious outbreak of the illness there. Look at this. Long-serving officer who cannot be named as he's still in the forces was among the scores of athletes who fell sick with a debilitating illness after attending the World Military Games in Wuhan in October 2019. What's more, thanks to WikiLeaks, we learned through Hillary Clinton's State Department emails from WikiLeaks that she was concerned about the Wuhan lab and that they were engineering biological weapons. The State Department cables from June 2009 obtained by WikiLeaks reveal that Clinton warned France that gain-of-function activities at the Wuhan lab could cause biological weapons proliferation concern. And then here is Hillary, right, a little while later. In fact, in March 2021, this week I spoke to Senator Duckworth about the recent rise in anti-Asian bigotry fueled by Donald Trump's racist rhetoric, her own experiences with prejudice, and what we can all do to stop the Asian hate. Here's the cover. And then, you know, just to kind of put a button on this, here's the cover of The Atlantic, because this is continuing to happen. So here's the New Atlantic piece. Scientists are creating new incurable diseases in labs. Is that reasonable? Can you even believe that they even would write this question?
The question, is it reasonable?
Is it reasonable? They're creating new and dangerous viruses in labs. Is it reasonable? No, no. The answer is not. It's not reasonable. When it killed millions of people, when it just killed millions of people and came from this lab. So this WHO report is a total like whitewashing of factual data and evidence that's widely available.
And I'm just wondering if they think that's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah, we're
done now.
Here. We're not going to do anything.
Move on, everybody.
Yeah. We're not going to have any further reports on this. We don't know. Basically, we know that it could have come from animals, but probably not. And there's no evidence at all of it jumping from that animal to a human. And then you have all of this overwhelming evidence of people who were at those military games who suddenly saw all of these crazy things happening in that town as a result of the leaks from the labs. And the evidence that we just talked about that NBC News even covered. And by the way, it's pretty interesting. I'm no NBC News fan, as you know. I've done a whole story about their smears of independent journalists, right? But you want to think for a second here about this, the context of NBC actually doing a story on this right at the exact same time that they were having to curry a favor with the Chinese government to do the NBC Olympics in China, right? Pretty interesting that they... And you can disagree with me about this. I just think it's interesting that they did this story. The story that was published was prior to the Olympic Games. So not something that NBC would want to do to stir the pot there in China about that. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Yes, it's interesting, but it's also interesting because it's not interesting. Because they sort of say, well, we can't be sure, you know, human-to-human contact, not so sure, right? And so that opens the door for, like, okay, do some science on that.
Right.
Animal to human, not so sure. And so again, there are ways to continue to follow this trail, but not if they have no access to data, which, you know, I guess we're all deciding is acceptable.
Yeah, they don't. I guess all the data that we've seen and all the evidence that's out there among other scientists and researchers, the WHO just doesn't have access to it.
Which, you know, it's important to know if what the origin of COVID is so that we don't have another one. Nobody wants that.
Right.
Maybe certain governments want that, but most humans do not want this. And so I don't know, but is this an indication that since the World Health Organization puts out this report and they're like, okay, you know, this is what we think, we're done with this now. You know, my sort of selfish question is, can I be done with it now too then? Do I have to still wear a mask in a, you know, in a doctor's office or, you know, if you can move on, can I? Because I'm ready for that. I have been for a long time.
Indeed. We're going to get to your super chats in a moment, and we're going to have a little conversation here. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Nugenix. So, look, I'm getting older. I've gotten a dad bod. Maybe you've gotten a bit of a dad bod yourself. Father's Day is coming up. If you're feeling a little less like your old self, you don't have time to work out, but you wanted the energy in the body that you once had. You're going up and down steps, and you're like, my God, why am I so tired? Well, you discovered Nugenix, and I'm telling you what, it'll make you feel amazing working out like you used to. It's not your fault. Like, we age, we get older, and our bodies, you know, naturally lose free testosterone, the man hormone. It happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be more energetic and active. Remember when winning felt easy? That's because when you were younger, you were at the peak of your testosterone production. So if you want more energy to counter the negative effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testostafin will help you turn back the clock. It'll re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. So I absolutely love this. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like testosterone. It's been validated in 5 clinical studies, shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Because Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs you of, and you're going to feel stronger, leaner, with more energy and drive, and more passion too. Your partner's going to notice. You ready to notice that?
Mm-hmm.
While every product professes quality, many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less than clinical grade. With Nugenix Total T, you get the same clinical potency levels used in the trials, and Nugenix formulation is backed by 10 years of science and research. So now I want you to get a complimentary bottle, free, of Nugenix Total Tea when you text the word. All you need to do is grab your phone and text the word redacted to the phone number you have to type in is 231-231. Just text the word redacted to 231-231. And you'll get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, which is their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast. Absolutely free. You're going to get that for free. So text the word redacted, R-E-D-A-C-T-E-D, and you have to type in the numbers, you know, like a phone number, 231-231. So text redacted to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at Nugenix.com/terms. Our thanks to Nugenix for helping our dad bods. Get rid of our dad bods. All right. Do we have any super chats today that we want to get to? And I should remind all of you before we do that, we have a website and a daily newsletter. So I want you to all subscribe. We had about a couple hundred people sign up for our daily newsletter yesterday.
Oh, thank you very much.
So every day we write it. If you go, it's called, go to morninginvest.com. Just go to morninginvest.com and we're changing the name. It's going to be updated soon, but that's how you can still subscribe right now. If you go to morninginvest.com, David's hard at work on the website. So that should be done very, very soon. Morninginvest.com is the place to go. It's a free daily newsletter delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. About 5-6 news stories that we cover. You can read it over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning and enjoy the rest of your day. You'll feel informed. We'll make you smile a little bit. Like today we had in the newsletter, the Coca-Cola and
Jack and Coke comes in a can. You don't have to mix it yourself because that is a tedium.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because mixing, doing all of that extra work to mix your Jack Daniels with your Coca-Cola is really tough.
You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, it's really tough. All right. So you want to tell us, do we have any super chats that came in today? If not...
We sure do. And today I'm going to read them before I read them out loud so that we don't get banned.
Okay.
So.
Good plan.
Accidentally read one yesterday. I was reading it out loud as I was reading it for the first time. And I was like, oh, yeah, we can't say that on YouTube.
I saw somebody do that to Jimmy Dore. Somebody did a super chat on our friends over at the Jimmy Dore show. And she was reading it. And it was like, she's like, I'm not reading that because it was all about, you know, COVID something rather, you know, yep. Which you know, the V we can't talk about. Otherwise, YouTube takes you down and bans you. She's like, I'm not reading that one, but yes. Thank you for trying.
So Nina, leaders with most responsibility take the least responsibility and the people suffer.
Yes, that does seem to be the conundrum. Mm-hmm. Yes, good way to think about it.
Bilal Shaban, other presidents couldn't fix the economy when they had a blank check. You think Biden will fix it when he's on a short leash?
No. I don't think I insinuated that I think that.
Yeah. So we've got another one on the, I think this is on inflation again. Putin price hike is such a bad argument. We're supposed to believe that one man in Eastern Europe wields so much power over our economy. Why does Putin wield so much power over every American wallet?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It doesn't track when you think of it that way.
Yep. Michael S., I remember the argument against socialism was high gas prices. Now we have high gas prices, but we don't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get less toilet paper.
I've seen people saying, hey, I'm not going to pay the 80% tax. So they've been going to a gas station and they're like, hey, I'll pay you the gas station for your lot. But the 80% on top of that, I'm not paying that on top. See how that works.
Are they going for that or is that just a...
Yeah, in fact, one of the gas station people was like, yeah, all right. And they were like down with it. So I saw this being like a meme. It was like kind of popping up. I don't know how many people are doing it now, if they could get away with that, how they would get away with that, I don't know, but especially because the gas station is going to have to pay the taxes.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of falling
there's certain on. States who are allowing a reprieve from taxes,
but yeah, I think I don't know what states though.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
And then we had Greg the DoorDash guy. They force their beliefs on everyone, and if you disagree you're a horrible person. I don't know who they are.
Hopefully that's not us.
No. So we don't force.
No, anyone. Not us.
Yeah.
I don't think we forced anything on anybody.
I try not to. I force broccoli on my children.
And then we had Georgie TK Blaze, I can't pronounce that, had a $10 sticker that just said thank you. And it's a cute little guy giving a little bow.
And that's it.
And then there's one from Chet Chisholm. I'm trying to read through it. He says many of the Canadian Forces members in Wuhan at the military games got extremely sick while they were there. CAF were discussing C-19 back in November of 2019. Yeah. I know they were discussing COVID-19 back in November.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Canadian Air Force, but.
Yeah, no, a bunch of Canadians were there. Yeah, talking about how they got sick and they saw what was happening in the town. It was like a weird, like it went sort of like a lockdown. And so they were aware of it. Like they knew where it came from. They knew what was going on. So this whole, we don't know, it's such garbage.
Yeah.
Well,
this camera angle is that you guys were taking just shows me, because I was like, why am I itching so much? Look, I looked at that camera angle and I was like, something's bit me during the show.
Oh, no.
Like that wasn't there when we started. And then
it wasn't Clayton when we were on like one of the B-rolls or something.
I don't know. We must have like those little no-see-ums or something.
I was upset when our internet had an issue on the stream and whatever happened, I don't know. That's when I bit you.
Oh. Yeah, he bites when he gets
pulled a Mike Tyson.
I suspected as much, cuz he knew at that point that I couldn't see either, and so he's like, now nobody can see this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. Stop it. And I'm going to have to get some tea tree oil on that later. Yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone. Make sure you go over to our website. It's redacted.inc. That's the place to go to sign up for free, to become a channel member, and to support what we do here on the show. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Please share the show with your friends. You have people in your life that are like, they watch CNN every day, or they watch MSNBC every day, and they watch the mainstream media every day. Just send them the show. Say, hey, join us at 4 p.m. Eastern. Or if not, you could just send them and watch the show so they stop watching the mainstream media. That would be the goal.
Sure.
Share our show. Just share it out. That's the key. All right, everyone. We will see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Be kind to everyone. We'll see you. Bye, everyone.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.